I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Imagine you and your family are so hungry that you're willing to steal to feed them. Well, day six following Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, that's what many families are facing. But today there are reports of a full-scale aid effort finally taking shape. The devastated city of Tacloban is the nerve center for this just-ramping-up relief operation. The BBC's Jonathan Head spent the day in the city center and at the airport.
It's really been two stories today. A growing sense of panic and real fear among the population as they've gone for yet another day with almost no help at all that they've seen, getting desperately hungry, not finding enough water to drink, and really fearful. They've got no shelter, nowhere to live at all. At the same time, down at the airport, there were actually the first signs I've seen of a fully engaged international organized aid effort. The US Marine Force was there. They've been planning to come in, but we spoke to the Marine Force commander, Brigadier General Paul Kennedy. He brought in two of the Osprey heavy lift helicopter aircraft that they'll be using, and they'll be using a lot more of them for taking aid out to very remote areas that have not had anything so far. And they're promising to bring in very big C-17 transport aircraft. He was saying you will see a much bigger arrival of aid over the next 48 hours. And we saw UN aid, large amounts of it, finally being put onto Philippine military trucks and taken into town where it's going to be distributed. I mean, it's the first sign where there's been a well enough organized and guarded distribution of aid that the agencies have felt they can actually get it going. Up to now, there's been so much chaos in the city, so little evidence of the authorities, and really, you know, quite near anarchy. I mean, people are so hungry. They've been just looting places that none of the agencies have wanted to take aid in because they said it would just be taken straight away.
Jonathan, there was that rush of people on a rice warehouse outside Tacloban. Tell us what happened there, because that really seems to kind of exemplify why people are so panicky and fearful right now.
We've seen a lot of cases where people are lining up initially orderly. I mean, people are inclined to be orderly here, but then it breaks down, particularly if they're really hungry and they see that the guards aren't very strong or they're not there. And often these lines outside food warehouses degenerate because there's not enough. And people at the back of the line know they're not going to get any. In this case, in a town just outside Tacloban, the rush on the rice warehouse became such a mob that a wall collapsed and eight people were killed. And it's an example of how fragile the situation is here. I found it very interesting that, you know, given how desperate people's position is, that their biggest fear is the collapse of law and order. There are rumors of women being raped. We've got no confirmation of that. But if you're a family with young women and you've got no home, you've got no walls, and there's this kind of sense of desperate, wild people wandering around and very little police or army presence, you can see where the fear comes from. So it's a very dangerous atmosphere. And I think it's probably one of the biggest questions about the response of the Philippine authorities. This was a massive disaster. Any government would have been stretched to start getting aid coming through quickly. But you would have expected in a country with a big armed forces and a big police force for an attempt to establish law and order, to start clearing roads much sooner than the significant efforts we're just beginning to see today.
Have you spoken with people who are leaving, and what have they told you that their reasons are for leaving?
It's hard to get across to you how utterly destroyed this town is. I can't imagine how quickly they'll fix it. But if you're here and you just lost everything and you looked out at this wasteland, it looks like it's been hit by an atomic bomb. You know, and there's just this mass of sodden rubble that was people's homes, covering everything with splintered trees. It's uninhabitable. And I can understand, for their point of view, they just say there's nothing left. They are utterly distraught and they feel they just can't stay here. I think for others, it is pure fear, on particularly with food. Most of Tacloban citizens are stuck here, and their desperation is what's dangerous, because they're stuck in a place where up to now the government's presence has been minimal. They've heard nothing from them and they've had no sense that they're going to be helped. I think that will change in the next 24 hours with the ramping up of this aid effort. But it really has to happen quickly if they're not going to see a serious degeneration of law and order.
Why has this rescue effort been so slow to get going, Jonathan?
Any disaster on this size is not going to come quickly. I mean, I've covered others, I think, of the Pakistan earthquake in 2005, the Asian tsunami in 2004, all of these things. When it's on this scale where everything is gone, it's very hard to know where to start. And you add to that a government of the Philippines that is not particularly well known for either efficiency. It's quite corrupt. There are political battles that go on, too. I think there was probably some panic. And when you lose all the local authorities, you know, the central government wasn't geared up to come in and start sorting things out very fast here. In my experience, in a disaster of this scale, you won't see anything for about 4 days. But by the fourth or fifth day, there should at least be signs that something's happening and messages going out. And that's what's been missing here. Any sense of engagement from the government. There have been high-profile visits. The president came very, very quickly after the disaster. Other senior ministers have been in. You know, they've been filmed, helping direct traffic, being very engaged, then flown out again, and then nothing. And I think that's been very, very dispiriting for people here, that sense of a total absence of the central government's presence. It probably will change, but I think there's going to be a great deal of criticism for its response.
Personally, Jonathan, what's it been like for you? You're kitted out, I assume, and yet you're surrounded by people who have nothing.
That's always hard. I mean, I tell you, at the airport today, I met many, many families who'd walked long distances. They had very young children. They all wanted water. They didn't have any drinking water. It was very, very hot. And we have water. We need water. We can't work if we don't have it as well. And we had to get our water into the airport, and we had to smuggle it inside a bag because we knew that if they saw it, they would just mob us. And yet, you know, it was going out and finding families and handing them bottles of water quietly so that other people didn't see. It feels such a futile gesture, really. I mean, so many other people I've met, and, you know, Filipino people have a tremendous resilience and a greatly positive spirit. It's incredible to meet people who are willing to see the bright side that they survive, even though they've lost everything. But, you know, the tears come pretty quickly, and it's the children as well. You see so many children, you know, in this ghastly mess with nothing coming into them, and you just want to hug them, and you wish you could do more. As a journalist, you do your job, which is to report and hope that other people respond, but you do often feel really, really helpless.
That was the BBC's Jonathan Head in the city of Tacloban.